Broadcasting life and truth around the world, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The mission of CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast is to teach discernment and to defend the essential doctrines of the historic Christian faith. Each day, Hank answers questions with a passion for apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering the cults. For more information about CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To begin today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. Great to be in the studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered live when you dial 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Our contact information on the web, equip.org, via the mail, it's box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, our resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. I just saw a letter as I was walking into the studio. It's a letter written to me by a man named Jim. And he says, I don't have a question. I just wanted to say, thank you, Hank. I became a monthly donor last week after being a one-time donor in January. The Bible Answer Man show has changed my life. I've been a Christian for 4 decades. I've read the Bible, but I never felt like I could read the Bible in a way that I could actually own it myself. I usually relied on what other people were telling me. This is a bit strange for me because I'm an actuary by profession. I'm trained in looking for truth and deeper understanding in my field, yet I was not applying those same principles to my spiritual life. But listening to you and understanding how you approach things, that changed me profoundly. It is so obvious that you read Scripture in light of Scripture. And although you speak with knowledge and authority, it is also clear that you're truly humble as you approach things. One quick example of what happened to me is that I was recently reading 1 Corinthians chapter 10. The first verse talked about fathers having passed through the sea. And this is something that I would normally have just glossed over, but I spent some time really trying to understand what the text was saying. And although this may not be the right interpretation, I did come to realize that the Bible does use the sea as a metaphor for sin and evil. And at the same time, I started thinking about the new heavens and the new earth in Revelation chapter 21, no longer having any sea. And I thought, oh, maybe that's not water he's talking about here in Revelation, but rather it's evil and sin, and that the new heaven and earth won't have evil and sin. Anyway, the point is not whether I got it right or wrong, but that I really enjoy this new approach to Scripture, done humbly, but an approach that I can really own. Thank you for your guidance, and I really hope your methodologies and approaches to discernment really gain momentum. So again, the reason I share this testimony is it's an example not only of people whose lives are being changed as a result of those who support the ministry, but a person who gave a one-time gift and then transitioned to becoming a monthly support team member. And by the way, Jim, your interpretations are spot on. Of course, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Israel's liberation from Egypt prefigures, or it typifies, our liberation from sin. And the cloud in this passage is symbolic of the Holy Spirit, the sea symbolic of the waters of baptism. But as you correctly point out, in Revelation chapter 21, the sea there has to do with the chaotic habitation of Leviathan. What Isaiah 27 says is the gliding serpent, the coiling serpent. and God is going to slay the monster of the sea. So the sea is the abode of Leviathan, and the monster is vanquished. There's heaven and earth, but no longer anything under the earth, no longer any sea, no longer sin or Satan, the problem of sin and Satan forever resolved. So good for you, and thank you so much for the testimony. It's been an encouragement to me. I hope it's been an encouragement to those listening in. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone calls. Sam, listening in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, CHRB. Hi, Sam.
Hi, Hank. It's great to be on your show. It's kind of neat. I had a Mormon show up at my door not too long ago, and he started telling me that Joseph Smith and the Book of Mormon is the result of the church that Christ originally establishing failing and becoming apostate. And Joseph Smith was sent to redeem this, and, you know, he received this new revelation and all that. And, you know, so we got out the Bible a little bit, and we started reading a little bit about, I think it's Christ talking to St. Peter, and he says, "Who do you say I am?" Peter says, "You're Christ." And he says, "Okay, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail, and I'll be with you for all time." So, you know, I said that to the Mormon. I said, you know, there's the words of Christ. You know, he said, "The gates of hell will not prevail. I'll be with you for all time." And the Mormon was getting his feet, and he turned around. He said, "Well, take a look at Christianity." And he said, "It's totally apostate. The church that Christ established was the Catholic Church." And he said, "That went apostate by the 4th century and totally failed." And he said, "It was reformed by Martin Luther in, I don't know what, the 1400s or 1500s, something like that." And he said, "Since then, it splits to the point that it's almost ludicrous." And, you know, I got to admit, he's got a point on some of it. I recently went to a wedding, and it was at the United Church. And the minister was a woman, and her head was shaved, and she was wearing some kind of rainbow uniform. And rather than a crucifix around her neck, she had a dragonfly. And I got to admit, that looks pretty apostate. But obviously, Christ Church did not fail. So how do we respond to all this?
Well, first of all, I think you're doing a great job, and you're an example to everybody listening in. I think the very fact that you're encountering him, that you're engaging in the conversation is wonderful, because the only thing that's going to come out of that is to sharpen you. But you're absolutely right. Joseph Smith, according to Mormonism, did not come to reform a church, but to restore a church that had utterly failed. But as you correctly pointed out, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Certainly, he is right in pointing to the fact that the church has fissured. Some of the details he got wrong. I mean, the church split in 1054 after 1,000 years, and it didn't cease to exist. I mean, the church continued on in a robust fashion in the East and in the West. And then it fissured again 500 years later, the Protestants that separated from the Catholics. So the Western church split once more, and there has been fissuring since. But the fact that there has been fissuring within the church does not mean that the gospel has ceased to be powerful, or that the message of Christ has ceased to penetrate, or that the church somehow or other is defunct, where it has to be not reformed, but utterly having been wiped out, has to be restored. The reality is this: the church continues on. And Christians, though they are unfortunately separated, they are united around the essentials. And what you correctly point out is that there are some churches that have completely abandoned the essentials. But the fact that there are some that have abandoned the faith does not mean that the faith has ceased to exist. Christ said the wheat and the tares would grow up together, and that's precisely what is going on. As far as Mormonism is concerned, it is utterly bankrupt. The Bible is a rock of Gibraltar, but the Book of Mormon demonstrates itself to be false. Archaeology is a powerful testimony to the accuracy of the Bible, and the same cannot be said with respect to the Book of Mormon. There's no archaeological evidence for a language such as Reformed Egyptian hieroglyphics there is no archaeological support for lands like the land of Mauron. Nor is there any archaeological evidence to buttress the notion that the Jaredites, the Nephites, the Lamanites migrated from Israel to the Americas. In fact, on the contrary, both archaeology and anthropology demonstrate beyond the peradventure of a doubt that the people, the places that are chronicled in the Book of Mormon are little more than the product of Joseph Smith's fertile imagination. I've written about this in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, the Bible Answer Men broadcast, and our outreaches around the world. Be right back with more answers.
Have you ever considered that just as a daily dose of the right vitamins can help to ward off illness, so can a daily dosage of truth be the best antidote for error? Or that just like the Ebola virus, error is deadly only when it is ingested? Sadly, far too many seekers and even believers have swallowed the distortions of cults and aberrant teachers only to discover how spiritually deadly these deceptions can be. And just like a wide range of potentially deadly viruses, these deceptions can spread if precautions are not taken. This Christmas, why not promote the health of our nation as well as the church by providing a daily dose of truth through the Bible Answer Man broadcast and a host of other outreaches? Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's mind-changing and life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Hank will be back right after this. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. When you need answers about the Bible and the intersection of our faith and culture, you turn to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute. But did you know we're entirely supported by God's provision through friends like you? In appreciation for your gift of ministry support today, we'll send you Hank's book, The Third Day, a convincing case study on the most important truth of Christianity, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Johnny Erickson Tada has said, "Hank leaves no stone unturned, thoroughly portraying the resurrection as our grand hope, the glorious springboard from which we all dive into eternity." Strengthen your defense of the resurrection and increase your confidence in your own eternal future. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Both at home and abroad, multitudes of Christians, due largely to limited biblical literacy and no understanding of apologetics, are being taken in by well-funded and aggressive cults. This Christmas, as we rejoice in the birth of the one who came that we might have eternal life, we invite you to stand shoulder to shoulder with Hank and the Christian Research Institute so that God's truth in Christ can be a brilliant beacon of light to those in spiritual and intellectual darkness. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Once again, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we go right back to our phone calls. Next up, Ken, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Hi, Ken.
Hey, Hank. Appreciate you taking my call, and thank you for your ministry.
You're welcome.
I have a question, actually two questions, but the first one is, my mother-in-law, she's enamored with this gentleman, Ernest Ainsley, out of Ohio. She thinks that this guy is like God's gift, and he's can heal people and everything else. And I told her we probably need to check that out because she's wanting to like go to Ohio. And I was like, no, I don't think that's a good idea. So I didn't know if that guy's the real deal or what's going on.
He's absolutely not the real deal. I'll just use the word, he's a phony. And I've written about people like Ernest Angley in a book called Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. But you're right to tell your mom, don't do this. Because what happens is miracles are conspicuous by their absence in the ministry of Ernest Angley and many who have followed in his trail. I didn't actually even know that Ernest Angley was still alive. I haven't heard his name for a long time. But I can tell you for certain that he's not the real deal.
Okay. And I like to get that book. And then also, I got the complete answer book, but it's kind of small. Do you offer that in like a bigger book? Because I'm getting kind of old. My eyes aren't what they used to be.
So well, you know, the complete Bible answer book, Collector's Edition, revised and updated, is a bigger book. So it not only has 50 new entries, but it's a larger book.
Okay, great, great. Okay, if you don't mind sending me to whoever it is, I need to grab both of those. I appreciate it.
And just hang on. Go back to the phone lines. We'll go to Eleanor, Seattle, Washington, listening on KCIS. Hi, Eleanor.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call. My question is about tattoos. I think in the Old Testament, there's command against this kind of things. But since nowadays, tattoos become more and more popular, I just want to know what your take is on that.
Yeah, I think that a lot of people will point to Leviticus chapter 19, verse 28, to note that God forbade the Israelites from wearing tattoos. But the reason for this is because God wanted separation between that which was to represent his way to the world and the world itself. The point being that there's nothing intrinsically wrong with tattoos. But if they identify you with the world, that would be the problem. If they identify you with Christ, it would be a good thing. So you have to ultimately examine your motivation for wearing a tattoo.
Okay, that's great. Thank you very much, Hank. I listen to your show very often. Bye-bye.
Bless you. Thank you for your call. Go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to David next. He's listening in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, David.
Yeah, hey. Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Just had a two-part question for you. Back to the silly little dinosaurs. Obviously, we have scripture of bigger animals, the Leviathan, and I believe we have one or two more. I'm not sure they are, but I'm sure pretty sure they're all in Genesis. What besides the I'm just can't. Catch the tongue right now.
I'm like that quite a bit myself. I get my tongue wrapped up in my brain.
Besides those few scriptures, what do we know about what they, why they existed, and why could they have coexisted with humans in the perspective that we give them in their size, even though we know that animals existed for a short time before humans existed. Was that their time of existence?
Yeah, actually you did a great job of asking the question. The answer to the question is that the Bible simply does not let us know about when dinosaurs lived. If you want to find out about that, you have to find the answer in general revelation. But more to your point, I mean, if you look at the examples in Scripture where people say, well, these are examples of dinosaurs living with human beings, you find that it doesn't really work out too well. So, for example, one of the passages that is inevitably pointed to is Job, where you have in Job 40 and Job 41, Behemoth and Leviathan, both said to be dinosaurs living at the same time as human beings. But this is a misunderstanding of the art and science of biblical interpretation, because the literary progression in Job moves from creation to creatures to the cherub, who once ranked first in the order of creation. So Leviathan and Behemoth have to do with personifications of evil or personifications of the devil. And that's why Isaiah talks about Leviathan, who lives in the chaotic waters. And the idea there is that he's the gliding serpent. So Leviathan is called by Isaiah a serpent. Obviously, the two are just ways of talking about evil and talking about the personification of evil in Satan. So there's no warrant whatsoever to think that Behemoth or Leviathan were dinosaurs, one a land dinosaur, the other a sea dinosaur. This is simply a misreading of the biblical text. Dinosaurs predated human beings, if you look at general revelation, and even the examples that have been given in the Biloxi Riverbed of footprints of dinosaurs and humans together haven't panned out to be authentic. Back to the phone lines, and we'll talk next to Brian in Spokane, Washington. Hi, Brian.
Yes, thank you, Hank, for receiving my call. I just wanted to ask briefly, have you heard of a gentleman out of Walterboro, South Carolina, and he goes by the name of R.G. Stairs, and he calls himself the Last Day Prophet?
Yeah, Ralph Gordon Stair. He's a doomsday prophet. He is surrounded by controversy. He has, as you point out, declared himself God's end-time prophet. But the fact of the matter is he made all kinds of false prophecies. He prophesied Ronald Reagan's removal from office in April of, I think it was back 1988, followed by a nuclear war upon U.S. soil. But the biggest problem is not just his failed prophecies. It is that he elevates non-essentials to the level of essentials. He once said that to deny the seventh-day Sabbath is to lie, to observe the pagan season of Christmas, and Easter is to honor a lie, to say that Christ is coming before the tribulation is a lie, to believe that you cannot fall into perdition and be lost is a lie, and then he concludes to believe in a lie is to be damned. So he has taken in that litany some secondary issues, elevated them to essentials, and then anathematized people. He was, of course, in 2002, himself charged with two counts of criminal sexual misconduct. He pleaded guilty to a lesser charge, and he served time in custody. So again, this is a guy that's a lot of hot air and not a whole lot of substance.
I know he came on quite a few frequencies on shortwave, and every time he's going to go off air, he seems to get a reprieve, and somebody sends him $1 million. But besides the point of that, I not that I believe what he says, but I just listen to what he is speaking. But I do know per se myself that this world, as it's going on this present level, is not going to go on for another 20 years as it's going on now without some major interruption of change. One of the biggest setbacks for this country is when the Supreme Court said that homosexuality was the law of the land, and it okayed for the states to marry same-sex couples. So So we had a big setback there. But to tell people that they're going to be here 2030, 2040 is absolutely outrageous.
Well, I would say we don't know. We simply do not know when Jesus is going to appear a second time. What we're called to do is be faithful and fruitful. God has not blazed a light down the path of history. He gives us enough light to take another step. And he always gives us the grace we need when we need it, oftentimes not a moment before. And we're out of time for this edition of the Bible Inch Man broadcast. Again, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered live when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. Out of time for today. See you next time with more.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. In today's post-truth culture of confusion, the Christian Research Institute exists to equip listeners like you with answers to communicate the gospel of hope to a world in desperate need of life and truth, because life and truth matter. In addition to truth, we want to equip you with life, not simply to know about God, but truly to know Him. Experiencing union with Christ enables us to live life not merely by our own energy, but with the energy of the Lord Jesus working powerfully through us. For more information, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. Or just visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is an outreach of the Christian Research Institute, a ministry funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org.